Okay, now I'd like to introduce our 10-minute speaker, Dave T. from San Diego.
I'm an alcoholic. My name's Dave. And I'm really grateful to be here tonight. I'm really grateful to participate in my sobriety. My sobriety date is 3:30:05, and I have a home group, and it's the Weed Group, and we meet on Monday nights at 6:30 on El Cajon Boulevard. Oh, man, when I came here, I did not feel like I'm feeling tonight, but I do feel a little bit nervous, I'll tell you that. I definitely don't quite get used to speaking, and I'm truly grateful for being able to face my fears today, because I lived in fear when I came in here, you know. I didn't get here because things were going well. I got here because my idea of recovery was to be locked up in a mental institution. Alcohol worked for me for a long time. I loved alcohol. I drank alcohol strictly for the effect produced by alcohol. And I came to my first rehab when I was 21 years old, and I wasn't done. You know, honestly, alcohol still worked. And I remember my drug and alcohol counselor telling me that if I don't admit to being an alcoholic, that I'm not going to stay sober. She was right. You know, it took 9 months of getting out of there before I picked up a drink. And, you know, it was just drinking a beer with some friends. And when I drank alcohol, I didn't feel scared. I didn't feel like that little person. I didn't feel like that skinny, scrawny little runt, you know. And the more alcohol I drank, the more it took of alcohol for me to work, you know. And I went through some amazing experiences with alcohol, you know. I met a lot of friends, and I did a lot of cool stuff. And alcohol seemed to be that best friend to me. Alcohol would let me do things that I couldn't have done before I drank. And that day came where alcohol didn't work anymore, and that's why I'm here tonight, because no matter how much alcohol I drank, it didn't shut off that thing in my head. And that night came where I decided that driving off a bridge was better than not being able to get drunk anymore. And I came to in a church parking lot on my knees, asking a God that I didn't understand and a power in my life to help me. And I had a resentment towards that power because I died in a scuba diving accident when I was younger. And I left my body, and when I came out of my body, I really felt okay. And I really felt like that's where I wanted to be, and I got sent back into my body. And so I had a resentment towards this God. So I'm in this parking lot on my knees, and I got this resentment towards my dad. And the first thing I do is I pick up my cell phone, and I call my dad. And I ask him if he can come down and help me. And I reached out for help, and he came down there, and he picked me up from that parking lot that night. And he drove me to his house, and him and my mom asked me what I should do, and I said, you need to have me locked up. And they called the sheriffs, and the sheriff showed up at our house, and they asked me some questions. And, you know, I was suicidal. I truly, honestly wanted to die. I couldn't get drunk anymore, and I couldn't live anymore. And they took me to a hospital, and in that hospital, they did some tests on me, and they took some blood, and I had a 0.37 blood alcohol level, and I was dead sober. I could walk and talk, and I could do anything I wanted to do. And she asked me if I had a problem with alcohol, and I said, really, the only problem I have with alcohol is it's not working anymore. And and so that morning I basically came to in a mental institution. And in that mental institution, this doctor came to me and he said, you know, I believe that your only problem is alcohol, and I'm not going to give you any drugs. And my idea of recovery at that time was to be locked up and given enough drugs that I didn't want to get out. Because I was scared to death of life, and I was scared to death of you, and there was just no way I could live anymore. And I ran out of options, and I ran out of people that were going to fix me. And I ended up getting out of there, and I went to a detox department in that same hospital. And in there, H&I panel came in there, and they talked to me. And I heard the message of alcoholism. I heard that there was a recovery. I related to a man that had the same kind of issues that I did. He talked about the same things that went wrong with him, that were going wrong with me. And he said that these 12 steps in this book helped him. And the men in that program helped him get better. And I got out of there and I went to a 30-day program. And in that 30-day program, I started to talk with my father and to my mother. And we started to make a bond. And I asked my dad if he wanted to go to a meeting. And it happened to be a big speaker meeting like this, and it was their anniversary night, and a really great speaker was speaking that night, and he was talking about alcoholism. And as he talked about alcoholism, me and my dad sat there, and all of those things that had stood between us and all of that stuff that was irreparable started to vanish. And the room of Alcoholics Anonymous became my higher power at that point. I saw God working in this room, and I saw God relieving me of the damage that had been done to us, and I told that man I loved him that night. And I held his hand, and in front of all these people who I used to always worry about judging me and whoever I thought would make fun of me, I didn't care. And I cried in that man's arms that night, and I honestly, truly loved him. And I went back to my rehab that night, and I called him before I went to bed. And I never had called my dad. I always called my mom, you know. And I called him that night again and told him thank you. And at 1 o'clock in the morning, I was woken up by the nurse, and she said, "Your dad's had a massive heart attack." And I went to that hospital, and I looked at that man laying in that thing, and I knew God had worked in my life. And for the first time in my life, I became unselfish and I wasn't selfish and self-centered, because I knew God had a plan for me. And my dad had told me that night before he died that as long as I stayed sober and as long as I worked this program, everything was going to be okay. And I got to hold his hand as we unhooked him from those machines. And I let God take him. And through his death, I became sober. And I know that my life depends upon my service in Alcoholics Anonymous and my participation with the men that are in my life. And I got out of that place and I started working the steps with my sponsor, and I finish those steps and I carry that message to others and I do service. And you know, the most spiritual I've ever been is seeking God. And the most spiritual I've ever been is standing at the door, shaking hands, making coffee, being of service in Alcoholics Anonymous. That's what saves my life. And you know, there isn't enough service that I can do to repay what Alcoholics Anonymous has done for me. Because that night in that room when God came into my life through you guys, changed me. My perception changed. For the first time in my life, I wasn't selfish and self-centered. For the first time, I realized that there was something working in my life and it wasn't me. Because I always came up short. I always failed. And there's some men that are sitting in this room tonight that are saving my life like that today. You know, and it's not always the way that I see it. It's the way that God sees it. And I see it through their eyes. And I see it because they help me, you know. My worst day is always made better by the men that I get to help or that help me, you know. If my phone rings and I start talking to somebody else about their issues instead of mine, it seems to get better every time, you know. Or if I come into a room and I start setting up chairs, or if I start, you know, sweeping up, or I make coffee, or I do something else other than think about me, my problems get better. You know, it's so amazing how this program works for me today. It's all about getting out of self. It's all about looking for something else and somebody else instead of me. And I find a lot of God in these rooms when I hear people talk. You know, that's when I hear the message of my higher power. That's when I hear how to be of service. That's when I hear how to do, you know, what it takes to stay sober today. And, you know, I'm going to have 3 years pretty soon, and I didn't think my life could be like this. I truly, honestly did not think that I could live a life like I live today. And it's totally dedicated to the men that have shown me the path to follow. And I'm really grateful to all of you guys and to the women who have shown me how to be a man towards women, you know, because when I came in here, I really didn't have respect for women like I do today. You know, I've seen how women are much more of my recovery as far as being their friends and learning how to shake their hands and learning how to respect and obey what's been freely given to me, you know, through this program. And I'm just really grateful, and I think that's all I got to say. Thanks.